Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Predators conversation we just had with him. We'll get into the Tennessee Titans as well. Speaking of the Titans, they obviously need some help at wide receiver. At least we think they need some help at wide receiver. We'll see what happens on the field once training camp comes around here. But DeAndre Hopkins is a player that we've discussed a lot here on the show, Joe, and that was when he was still under contract with the Arizona Cardinals. And the question was, should the Titans consider trading for DeAndre Hopkins? Well, now DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Cardinals. He was released on Friday, and he is out there and is available to all 32 teams should anybody want to go get him. So to me, that changes things quite a bit on the DeAndre Hopkins discussion. If now that you don't have to trade him, give up assets for him, and pay him the cap hit, which was exorbitant given the lack of availability that he's had over the course of the past year and his age, I think it changes it quite a bit. So we know, and I think Pro Football Talk put this out there over the weekend, only two teams with their reporting had inquired about DeAndre Hopkins via trade, and that was Kansas City and Buffalo, and the price quickly scared them off of that. Now that he's out there and he's available, I would assume there are going to be more teams than just the Bills and the Chiefs that are interested in his services. I'm interested to see what exactly the deal looks like and what the money looks like with DeAndre Hopkins. But now that you don't have to trade to go get him, how much interest should the Titans have in DeAndre Hopkins? And the other question along with that, Joe, is if you're DeAndre Hopkins, how much interest would you have in coming to play for the Tennessee Titans, given the state of this roster right now?
Well, I think it's worth looking at for sure. Now he was, let's see, he was on a podcast, I Am Athlete podcast, and I'm reading The Athletic. Jeff Howe, Mike Jones, Doug Haller did a thing. So on that, he listed the five quarterbacks he would like to play with: Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Mm. Those are his top five quarterbacks he'd like to play with. Should the Titans look into it? Absolutely. It's certainly worth looking at. But you're talking about, let's see, $19.45 million in 23, $15.915 in 24 is what his contract looks like. So, that's a huge number. Those are huge numbers. I've seen some people talking about, here's a Preds Facebook type thing, which, by the way, I went there and all I see is like shoes and stuff that people are selling. So I must not be on the right. Yeah. But I thought there'd be Quenville stuff, but I've seen get rid of Tannehill and sign Hopkins. It's like, so I don't think you're looking at Hopkins if Tannehill isn't your quarterback, are you? Probably not.
You really like to help Will Levis.
Yeah.
Right from the jump. He's only 30.
Come right in.
He'll be 31 in like a week. I think a week from today, he'll be 31.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it just seems, and I know, the Julio thing doesn't mean anything that happened in the past means anything with different people in the future, but it just feels so much like Andre Johnson and Julio if he comes here. Like, it's almost guaranteed that he will not work out if he comes here. The good thing about this is Mike Vrabel's been with him.
Yep.
Now, of course, Vrabel was with him when he was in his prime
the
and
best
great.
Player in the league, best receiver in the league.
But, you know him well, so you got that going for you. Ultimately, my question on Hopkins, if there is a market out there, if there is interest, other opportunities, why would he be interested in here?
That's the thing. I mean, the easy answer is, the money is what it is. Like, if somebody will give you that money, then go sign, right? That's fine. But also, at this point with him, you would think that winning is going to be a big part of it. And not that the Titans can't win. If I'm Vrabel, I can make a case of, all right, well, look at our division. We got to be better than Jacksonville, and then we got a home playoff game. You can come help us do that, and then the path is there. So, I could make the sales pitch if I was Mike Vrabel to DeAndre Hopkins. But also, if I'm Hopkins, I'm looking around and I'm saying, well, Buffalo, that could be an interesting fit. They need another wide receiver. Kansas City, they could use a wide receiver. I mean, they just won a Super Bowl, and their number one wide receiver while doing so was Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, and he's gone. So they could use a wide receiver. The Ravens, as you talked about, I mean, I will say it would be pretty fun to think about Lamar Jackson, Odell Beckham Jr., Zay Flowers, and DeAndre Hopkins going into that mix with what they've got there. So my point in all that is, like, from the player perspective, I do think that I think there are more attractive options, more attractive offenses, and specifically more attractive quarterbacks that he could have at his disposal. So I don't think the Titans are going to be high on his list.
Yeah. And look, I like it or not, and it's simplistic, but if you're a receiver, what's the first thing you think of when you, you know, when you look at the Titans? You're like, oh, Derrick all I do is give the ball to Derrick Henry. Yeah, well, yeah. I blocked in my 20s.
Right.
I don't block in my 30s, you know. But I mean, it is, look, I mean, they'll throw the ball if they have people open. I mean, they'll, you know, it wasn't that long ago that they threw the ball really well around here, but that's what people think too. And I just I think it's hard. I mean, and I don't blame him if he thinks this way. It's hard for me if I'm Hopkins to look at this team. You're right. Yes, you can win the division, but to actually feel like you have a chance to get a ring here.
Yeah, it's difficult to get there with this team. Now, I will say, I mean, the other part of this, if you're the Titans or anybody else, is what exactly is he right now? Because I don't know. Like, the last time we saw him, he played 9 games last year, 717 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had the PED suspension. He's had some nagging injuries over the last couple of years. You know, when you start to get to 29 and 30, you know, that's not trending well for him in the injury. Whereas, as you look at his career before that, and he hardly ever missed a game before that for the last 2 years. So we've seen this before. Like, Julio hardly ever missed a whole lot of games either, and then all of a sudden he did, and he wasn't the same player. So what exactly is DeAndre Hopkins right now? Like I said, he's going to be 31 next week, so it's not like he's ancient by any stretch of the imagination, but there is the PED thing, there's the nagging injury thing, and then there's, you know, reports that Arizona was mad at him the last couple of games of the regular season because he sat out when he could have played. Like, there's now, that's also Arizona and the Cliff Kingsbury thing and Kyler Murray. Like,
yeah, it was,
it's
a
just
mess.
A mess of a situation. But trying to sift through all that, if you're the Titans or anybody else, and figure out exactly what he is and what he brings to the table, I think is a lot harder than it was this time a couple years ago.
And I know I haven't read every word about the PED thing, but when I see injury plus PED, I worry about that too, because, you know, if there was something that was helping him stay healthy and now he got popped, that, to me, makes it less likely he's going to stay healthy.
Yep.
So I just, you know, I feel like he's a classic candidate here for just a total nosedive, you know, which happens a lot. It's, you know, a lot of players in the NFL once they get into their 30s.
Right. And I mean, the interesting part about him is, I mean, at least to me, he's never been your classic speed guy. Like, not to say he can't run, because obviously he can create separation. But he's never been your burner. He's just got a gigantic catch radius. He'll go up and, you know, fight for balls in traffic. I mean, think about how many times he's just gone up one-on-one or even double covered against the Titans and just gone up and grabbed it. So, like, I think he could probably still do that if he's healthy, and that could help you. Like, to me, if he can do that, even if he's not the same guy, like, if they signed him right now, is he not automatically the number one guy for the Titans based on what he's done to this point? Like, you hope Treylon Burks eventually becomes that this year, but, like, to me, if you get Hopkins, he would be your number one guy right now.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if that's the thing. If you, I mean, if you do sign him, and obviously, you know, I mean, he could restructure the deal, and which, you know, is certainly, he may have to,
yep,
for somebody here, but it's still going to be a, you know, it's going to be a significant number. So if you bring him in, you must think that he can be that, right?
You would think.
But, I mean, if I'm the Titans, I mean, I think it's also very possible that where he is, and with, if Treylon Burks has this breakout second season that everybody's hoping for, that, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be that. But regardless, you'd now have two guys on the outside who you feel good about. And, yeah, that's the thing. Hopkins, I mean, he's a guy who, if he loses a step, there's still, I mean, he's still a guy who's a problem, you know, for defenses and defensive backs. And he has lost a step, you know, which is fine. He, like you said, I think sometimes with burners, and that's their game, you know, then you really see as they get older, it's like, well, you know, that's not, I mean, Hopkins is the guy who out-physicals you. So from that perspective, maybe there's a little less of a risk, you know, with him later in his career. But then again, I mean, Andre Johnson did everything, ran by you and out-physicaled you, and we saw what he was here. What's that?
Got in fights, too,
yes. He did catch a big touchdown here to beat the Mighty Lions.
Great throw by Marcus.
That was. I'm glad you acknowledge that.
Best throw of his career. Oh, the one he threw to himself, that was pretty good, too.
I want you guys to picture this. DeAndre Hopkins on the Tennessee Titans, New Year's Eve this year in Houston, wearing an Oilers jersey.
That'd be nice.
That would be
just
the
really old, give it to
that
him.
Would be a troll. Yeah.
That would be a pretty good troll. Are they definitely doing that, by the way?
Yeah.
In Houston.
I don't know that there's been no game, as far as I know, that they've announced when they're going to do.
Yeah. But there's been a lot of smoke about when
that has to be the game.
If they don't, I mean, come on.
But are they going to do it there?
They should.
Probably not. I mean,
probably do it here.
It depends on, like, are they wearing the white throwbacks or the baby blue throwbacks? I think it's the baby blue ones, right? So if Houston's wearing their home jersey, probably not wearing the baby blue throwbacks on the road.
But wait, doesn't Houston wear white at home?
Sometimes. Sometimes they don't.
Interesting.
They're probably not wearing white at home that game, be my guess.
But then the Titans could
see Davis Mills trotting out there in the red.
But then his neck is truly unbelievable. Well, the Titans could bring the Oilers white jerseys with them.
That's what I'm saying. I hope they have both.
Yeah. So many possibilities.
A lot of
and
possibilities.
Now all I can think of is his neck now.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Should the Titans have interest in DeAndre Hopkins? And do you think DeAndre Hopkins would have interest in playing for the Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. More comments on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on Wednesday, June the 7th. That is next Wednesday at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. If you want to support Souls for Souls but can't play golf with us, you can check out our silent auction items. Just go to thegamenashville.com/golf. For more information. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking about the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins. Should the Titans pursue DeAndre Hopkins now that he is available? And do we think DeAndre Hopkins would have interest in coming here? Raymond on the text line, not excited about this, says Hopkins is not coming here, and there is no other big name receiver that will be drawn here by our QB room. We're on the edge of a complete collapse. It's Jeez. Raymond on the text line.
Raymond, it's not even Monday. It's Tuesday.
Yeah,
man.
Come
it's
on,
a
man.
Short week. You sound down, Raymond. The QB room is an interesting thing to pick out there of why a big-name receiver wouldn't. I don't think that Tannehill is a deterrent to a good receiver. I think questions about the offensive line, questions about the offense, questions about the approach, questions about the just capability of the team to win a lot, I think those things would be deterrence. I don't think Tannehill's a deterrent, is he? Obviously, like, Hopkins didn't list him along with, like, you know, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and everybody and Mahomes, but
I don't think he's a deterrent. I also think it's different for somebody like Hopkins, right? Like, if you're a player that was 25 or 26 coming here, you'd be thinking, okay, well, it's Will Levis. That's going to be the guy that's ultimately throwing me the ball. Like, with Hopkins, wherever he signs – the deal could say something different, but it's going to be essentially a one-year deal wherever he ends up, just based on his injury and his age at this point. So, like, there's going to be a way for a team, whatever it is, I think, to get out of it after 1 year would be my guess.
Yeah, because he's going to have to, I would think, restructure this thing. So, look, if you're him, realistically – I mean, I guess you'd like to think it'd be 2 years. And I guess if you come here, you try Tannehill out 1 year, you get Levis next year. How about that? You could be the ground floor of star career in the NFL. You don't know.
You very well could be. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Jason from Hendersonville. Jason, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
No, hey, thanks, guys. We need to just leave these middle-aged, washed-up receivers. I mean, I'm thinking all the way back to Yancey Thigpen. I mean, name me one of these middle-aged receivers that's really panned out. Did Ocho Cinco? Did Randy Moss? Did any of these guys? I mean, we've got Kyle Phillips coming back. I mean, I think our hands department is good. I mean, we're focusing on the receiver position, but we just need to continue to go get depth at the offensive line. I think we've got a tight end now that can catch. We've got Kyle Phillips. I mean, we've even got a new running back out of the backfield that can catch. I think we're going to be fine in that department. Our defense, if they stay healthy, is stacked. And I really believe that. And I believe they're going to be handing the ball back over to the offense at a rapid pace if they stay healthy. We're going to be getting after the quarterback this year. Let's forget about these has-been receivers and continue to build that offensive line, and we'll be just fine. We've got the receivers, I believe, that can handle the job this year. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Jason. I appreciate it.
Kyle Phillips twice.
He did mention Kyle Phillips twice. I will say.
Played one NFL game.
Can you imagine, like, this conversation, like, 2 years ago? Like, don't worry about DeAndre Hopkins. Titans have Kyle Phillips.
Yeah. It's like, right. Two years ago, like, wait. The dude from UCLA?
Yeah. What? I hear what he's saying. Like, there's no question. Like, going this route for the Titans has not worked before.
I forgot about Ocho Cinco. What year was that?
I don't think Ocho Cinco was ever here.
Okay. I was like, Ocho Cinco was
he
here
was.
Too?
I totally missed that one.
Did they just inquire? I definitely remember Yancey.
They may have inquired.
Thigpen for sure. Look that up.
Randy Moss for sure. We've talked about Andre Johnson, and we know Julio, right? So, I mean, they've gone down this road before of the superstar wide receiver on the back part of his career. And it's not worked to this point. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, we talk about this all the time. Just because it hasn't worked in the past does not mean that you just automatically dismiss it in the future here. But I hear what he's saying there about Hopkins. Now, the other thing, let's ease up on the middle age when it comes to 30-year-old wide receivers, please.
Well,
he's the same age as me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's
– I know what he's saying. I'm just joking.
It's in NFL terms. I mean, you are in your athletic prime.
I am.
And technically – DeAndre Hopkins is too, but when you've been battered in this league, sometimes it comes a little faster for you.
It does. It's just, I don't know. I disagree with Jason from the standpoint of, like, the receivers being fine right now, because I don't think they are. Like, if Kyle Phillips can stay healthy, great. If Treylon Burks can stay healthy and improve dramatically, great. I still look at the rest of the room right now, and I'm like, it's just not good enough. So that's why, like, that's why these conversations continue to come up. Like, if I felt good about the Titans wide receiver room right now, I don't really know how much interest I'd have in DeAndre Hopkins because of everything we've talked about with the PEDs and the injuries and the age and all that. But I don't feel good about the Titans room, so I think they should be open to every option as they look ahead here.
Yeah, I agree. I'd take a glance at Hopkins. I basically agree with Jason just on the middle-aged receiver thing usually doesn't work out. I mean, the last one, I was like, I thought it was going to be great, you know, because there'd only been like 1 year of some kind of injuries with Julio Jones, but we've seen what happened. I mean, he's a shell of himself, and he's trying to hang on the league. By the way.
And they had A.J. Brown.
Right.
They do not have that right now.
This is true. But, I mean, you know, as far as upgrading the offensive line, I mean, that's not going to happen now. I mean, you know, they have who they have. And they probably have who they have in both rooms. I suppose I feel better about the offensive line than the receivers. I mean, those are the two big questions on the team. And by the way, Ocho Cinco did not. Maybe there was an inquiry, but yeah, he only played the 1 year with the Patriots after it was all Bengals and then 1 year with the Patriots.
Yep.
So there you go.
I got a text that says,
man, he was good. He was good for a while.
Whew. He was.
He was awfully good.
Got a text that says, I think the Titans should definitely check in on Hopkins, but for him to come here, it'll have to be a really good sales pitch by Vrabel, Kelly, and Rand. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't even know if the Titans are going to have interest in it, but to me, he's going to land somewhere, whether it's a Buffalo or a Kansas City, but somewhere like that where he feels like he's got a chance to win. Now, in order to do that, like you said, the deal's going to have to be – it's pretty clear to me. Like, if somebody wanted him and they didn't mind paying what he's being paid right now, they would have traded to go get him. Now that you don't have to trade to go get him, I think you're going to see a significant downturn in his deal and a restructure. And whether it's Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, wherever, I think he's going to end up somewhere where he's ring chasing, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, he's just going to go to the Chiefs, right?
He might. Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I would probably lean Chiefs. I would say Kansas City is one, Buffalo is close two in my mind right now. I would say New York, but they already have 5,000 wide receivers.
Yeah. Texter, bad QB room. Derrick Henry's 5-for-6 with 2 touchdowns. That's 83% completion percentage and a 1-to-3 TD to attempt ratio.
That is true.
Find me better passing stats. That is very, very good point. And Jared from Spring Hill says, Vrabel, quote, promised us,
yes,
end quote, to scour the waiver wire. Get Stillman on the horn. I would, but he's looking at how many times people are touching their face.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Which is still
a
conversation I can't believe we've had. And we did, because he actually did it. I can't believe he did it, but he did.
I missed that one.
He looked at how many times he touched his face and went back and looked at other press conferences about how many times he touched his freaking face. Can you believe this?
Yes, I can.
My God, really though?
The offseason, man. The offseason.
Well, don't blame the offseason for Stillman's outrageousness. It's not offseason.
Yeah,
that's
that
Stillman.
That was.
It's not the offseason, man. It's Jared, man. Yeah. Jared. You don't want to call out Jared.
Me?
It's about time. Yeah, you. Call out Jared. We all need to do this collectively. Put me on an island calling him out. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I just lost it there.
By the way, Texter said, release Tannehill, sign Hopkins to attract Brady. That's still a thing, right? I got some things to say about Tom Brady coming up here in just a minute.
And my text back was, Peter, Greg, which Brady? Marsha?
He'll be the Raiders QB.
There's some developments currently happening with the Raiders that make me think that may not be too far-fetched of an idea. By the way, Joe, a text for you that we just got. If you haven't seen Joakim Kemmel's goal from last night, highly recommend finding it on Twitter and watching it.
I'm going there right now.
Yeah, get there right now.
I am. That's worthwhile. Like a prospect with a cool play. I'm in on that.
Joe Rexroad's Admiral's Report coming up later in the program. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, DeAndre Hopkins. And like I said, there is a very interesting situation brewing with the Raiders that we'll get into as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Monster Jam coming up at Nissan Stadium on July 1st. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium coming up on July the 1st. 615-737-1025. We are discussing DeAndre Hopkins, his availability, and the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line. So I would give the percentage chance, Joe, just me sitting here today on May the 30th, of the Titans landing DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to put it at about 1.4%. Is
okay.
That fair?
Sure. I'll go 0.7. I'll cut that in half.
There we go. 0.7 and 1.4. Now, I will say, both you and I, like before the Julio Jones trade, we're like, yeah, it's probably not happening. And then it did. So, we'll see.
There's no doubt. I mean, I think, I don't even know if we were doing rants, but I think I certainly ranted like, Kai, stop it. It's not happening. It happened.
John Robinson is not getting fired.
John Robinson getting fired? Shut up. Yeah.
So who knows?
So done doing
Titans
that.
Titans have kept us on our toes.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
A very interesting situation also brewing in Las Vegas, Joe Rexro. Jimmy Garoppolo apparently has failed the physical. So he gets traded from San Francisco to the Raiders, and on doing that, apparently failed the physical, which allowed the Raiders to basically redo and restructure his contract to the point where they can get out of it at some point. So, Garoppolo had the foot injury back in, I believe, week 13 last year. And then Brock Purdy took over and he got a role from there. And now Garoppolo is in Vegas as the quarterback there. But now some question as to whether or not he's ever going to actually play a snap for the Raiders, given the situation around the physical and the foot and all those things. And Raiders Twitter is going nuts right now. Brady has gotten involved with the ownership group there.
Yeah.
And I saw an article from CBS Sports. John Breach put this out there yesterday, and the headline is this: Tom Brady tops the list of Raiders quarterback options if Jimmy Garoppolo gets cut due to his foot injury. This is from CBS Sports yesterday.
Beautiful.
So the Brady stuff's not dead.
Yeah, it'll take a few years. I mean, seriously, he's going to have to be about Greg Brady's age until we stop talking about this. Would the Raiders – did that piece mention Ryan Tannehill?
It did not, but I did think about that. You know, like if he's – you know, you, first off, you got Devontae Adams there. Like, they've made some investments in this thing. I know they traded away Darren Waller. So, it's not like they have the same offense that they had last year. Derek Carr's gone.
But Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs. I mean, they've – you know, Hunter Renfrow, they've got some good pieces on the offensive side of the ball. And if Garoppolo, for whatever reason, can't get over what's going on with his foot and he can't play – then what do you do if you're the Raiders at that point, quarterback?
Right. And look, if you're Josh McDaniels with this opportunity, which still wild to me that he got it, yep. But I don't think you can be comfortable at all unless you're winning right away. So it's not that he makes the call on stuff like this. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's something to at least think about that they might make a call on that.
Here are the options that they listed on CBS Sports. Brady at number one. They've got Carson Wentz at number two for the option for the Raiders.
Exciting.
Matt Ryan, give him a call.
Sure.
Teddy Bridgewater. And then the fifth option is make a trade. And some players that they've listed there are Andy Dalton and Jacoby Brissett. No Ryan Tannehill in there. Maybe an oversight.
I think a little bit. I mean, I would certainly, if they're going to go the trade route, because those options are not great.
No.
At all. So, I mean, Wentz
except for maybe Brady.
Well, sure, if you can make that happen. But if they're going to go the trade route, why not trade for a starter-quality quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Tannehill's certainly that. Ryan Tannehill, I think he's better than Jimmy G. I know a lot of the league would disagree, but I actually feel pretty confident in that.
I do, too. Like I think if he can't play and they get to a point where, like, man, Jimmy's not going to be able to get out there and play, then I think if you're the Raiders – you're at least making the call. Maybe the Titans have no interest in that, and it's Tannehill's quarterback this year and Will Levis' quarterback next year, and that's the way we're doing things. But, like, if you're the Raiders, I'm making that call way before I'm entertaining Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan and Teddy Bridgewater. That's just me. Like, we saw Matt Ryan last year. He's not very good anymore. He's basically retired now, joining the desk at CBS. I'm certainly making the call before Carson Wentz.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz, you know, entertaining, interesting, unpredictable. But, no, he's a much better option than any of those guys. And I don't know what the Titans would say in that situation. You know, I really don't. I mean, I think right now the Titans are kind of moving forward, and this is the team, and they should feel like, and I think they do feel like, they have a chance to be pretty good. Certainly better than people think. But the thing is, like, so the Raiders – they want to win now. McDaniels wants to win now. But what would they actually offer? Like, unless it was a really good offer, I have doubts about whether they'd really offer that much for Ryan Tannehill at this point. Maddie says, has there ever been an owner-player before? It seems like a conflict of interest. I don't know why it'd be a conflict of interest. I mean, if you own the team, you own whatever you want with the team, yeah. Right?
It's
your
win.
Team. Brady is go out there and put the uniform on.
Yeah, Brady is in the process of buying a piece of the Raiders. So, I mean, he could be out there, owner player.
Let's get Mark Davis out there.
I knew we would get. Oh God, I think you imagine that. Talk about the neck of Davis Mills. What about the bowl cut of Mark Davis out there? He had to play with no helmet on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that head can absorb the contact. We put that neck with that head with that haircut.
I knew though we would get to some point this offseason, and I thought it'd probably be closer to training camp or like a quarterback goes down or something,
yeah.
And that we'd start hearing some Tom Brady noise.
Oh, there. Of course.
Like, I have no idea if Brady has any interest in this whatsoever, but I knew we'd get to that.
At some point. it's going to be a while before that stops. It's going to be a while, and I don't know. I have no idea with him if he might, be willing to dip his toe back in.
Also, I mean, keep this in mind, and I can't remember, was it Gronk who said this on a podcast one time? Or I can't remember where it was, but, like, the noise around how back in 2020, apparently, like, Brady to the Raiders was almost a done deal, and Gruden at the last second was like, nah, good. Thanks, though.
So does that mean that Brady was talking about Derek Carr when he said that MF-er?
I think that could be what it was.
Bradford says, what would be the point in doing that if the Titans didn't plan on nuking the whole season? Sure. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you make this deal, and you are signing up for a worse record. And I understand Titans Facebook that Will Levis is actually two wins better than Ryan Tannehill in Titans Facebook world.
But
in reality, that's not true.
The other part of this, though, is like if you go the opposite route, which I hear you, that's probably the way they should go, is just Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback, and then you move on to Levis. At that point, you're also losing Ryan Tannehill for nothing after that. So, I mean, it would have to be a good offer for the Raiders for me to consider this. I don't think it would be. So it's probably okay, so not going to happen.
So what would you call a good offer?
Would you let me? If they offered you a third round pick, would you do it?
I mean, that would be. I'd think about it.
I would too.
I'd think about it, but again, I'd only think about it if I'm really not confident in this team, because otherwise, like, look. Vrabel's secure, but yeah, you've lost 7 straight games.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of things, even though it's like this half rebuild. And by the way, there's another thing that you can weigh in on. Bill Barnwell ranking their offseason 32nd out of 32 out of 32 last week.
Jeez.
Because, and his reasoning, I get it to some extent. The reasoning being like they sort of are rebuilding, but they aren't. What are they doing? You know, but I would consider that if I'm just sitting here one day and I'm like, you know what, we're going to stink this year. But if I actually think, oh, yeah, we can win the AFC South, then I'm not doing that for a third-round pick. I mean, third-round pick's nice, but this is a football season about to come. And
yeah.
If you could win the AFC South, that's something that the Tennessee Titans haven't done a lot. I know it becomes just this, all of a sudden, they were about to win 3 in a row. And it's just no big deal, but you could do that this year. Does that mean anything?
Second-round pick?
Okay, I'm doing that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. Yeah. But, yeah, I might think about that.
That's the other thing, too. Like, if you're the Raiders, like, if you're the Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback, I realize that Josh McDaniels has familiarity with him, and Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten to a Super Bowl, and he's gotten to another NFC title game in addition to that. I get it. But, like, if you're Mark Davis looking at that roster in that division right now, like, deep down, does he really believe he can win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback this year? So if you don't believe that, are you really shaking things up that dramatically to go get like a Ryan Tannehill replacement?
Right. Yeah, I mean, unless you just think he's amazing and you've thought so all along and now you finally have your chance. Chuck says, because just squeeze into the playoffs being bounced the first game has been working great for the Titans over the past few years. Always middle of the pack. Well, that's true, Chuck, but remember, they were 2-4 and terrible. And they came back, and they got into the playoffs, didn't win the division, and got to the AFC Championship game, and were winning that for the entire first half in Kansas City. So I'm not saying that this team might do that, but I'm just saying you get into the tournament and it's worthwhile to get into the tournament.
I mean, obviously Vrabel and the Titans have different views on this than we do sitting here on the radio talking about it. But I mean, right now, like the goal is look at your division. You got to be better than Jacksonville. Like that's the path right now. Like be better than Jacksonville. And you get a home playoff game.
And you don't, again, you don't, all these AFC teams have better quarterbacks than you, all that stuff. You don't, you have to beat 3. You know, you get 1 at home, and then you have to win 2 more games to get to the Super Bowl. You don't have to beat them all.
Right.
Some of them will beat each other.
And, you know, being better than Jacksonville is not going to be easy. I'm not saying that it is, but like the rest of the division, the way it's set up right now with 2 rookie quarterbacks and you've got Tannehill as your starter at the moment. Like, the path is there for you to be competitive in your division.
You get to play the NFC South this year, yep. Which is total cheeks.
Yeah. 615-737-1025.
We just called it.
Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check that out every morning at 745. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, Joe Rexroad's favorite team. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road. Would like a world to change, it hurts.
helps me to appreciate. And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 on the program. Joe Rex Road, the floor is yours, my friend.
So let's go there. What a great.
Hopefully one day, friend of the show.
Yeah, I know. We got to get him on. So Jared Stillman counted how many times someone touched their face, and then he went back and watched other press conferences about the dude. No, that's not my rant, but it's kind of like the perma rant now.
I didn't see just this on vacation. I just saw a screenshot, and that was the headline on it from our video stream of Will Levis touching his face. And I was like, I just looked at it. I was sitting at the beach, and I was like, I bet that one's a doozy.
Jared works so hard.
He does.
All right, I'm going to talk today about the Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't even ask Lance's permission, but Lance, I'm going to invoke your text. Lance in sales here, Lance and I would say, of all the people who work here, we are very aligned in music and movies. I didn't realize that Lance never been to a Dave Matthews show.
Okay.
All right. So, first of all, we went in that late, right before the show. You know, we're looking around. We had seats, but then we had an opportunity to upgrade for, they were obstructed view, but it was like they're really close and they're mm-hmm. cheap. So we got them. And I was just like, yeah, we're going to be like behind the speaker. Well, we were front row and you could not have had a better seat. Like, it was like you saw everything the band was doing. It's the best seats we'll ever have. Okay. Dave Matthews Band. I've talked about this before. I've always been blah on them before Katie started making me go to shows, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I really like them a lot. Okay. So Lance is at his first Dave Matthews show. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I'm starting to get texts from him during the show. GD it. He's good. And then he's like, unreal. And then Zach Brown comes out. Do you like Zach Brown?
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. Zach Brown comes out. They play All on the Watchtower. He shreds. I mean, he absolutely melts your face with this guitar. It's unbelievable. Lance. All on the freaking Watchtower. Such a jam band. Holy bleep. Then later. What a freaking show. Then later. Wow, Joe. Wow. Wow. Then later. Just wow. Then I can't believe that show. Next morning, 11 a.m. Just wow. I'm still thinking about Dave. I'm like, hey, man, I wish I could tell everybody, like, I don't know what to, like, you got to go. You got to go to the show. But here's the thing. It was an amazing show, and, again, we'll never have better seats. But, like, it's seriously a little bit concerning now. Like, I'm a total dork, nerd Dave Matthews fan now. Like, I followed, like, 3 fan accounts on Twitter this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, like.
Were you trying to find him in the city, Joe?
What's that?
Were you trying to find Dave in the city?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I mean, he's, you know.
Just imagine how obsessed you'd be if you went to a Creed show.
Man, if they could open for Dave, I'd talk about a dream. But it's like I'm looking at their set list. We're going to 2 more shows this summer. Like, I'm listening to it constantly. And I know sometimes that happens around, you know, when you go to a show and you listen to a lot right afterward, but it's getting a little bit weird, man. Like, I am the people that I totally made fun of in the 90s,
yeah.
And it's the 2020s, and I'm a little bit concerned about myself. Like, it's kind of like, even, you know, the lyrics I know now and stuff, whereas I never used to, and I like look them up and read the lyrics. Like, dude, it's a little bit problematic, but. Shout out to Lance because his first Dave Matthews show, and he is now all in. And I would advise everybody to try it once.
Well, I need to try it because I've never been to one. And I've always had a question about this because – and we may have discussed this before. But, you know, I like concerts. Concerts aren't really my number one thing, but, I mean, I like them. And I know everybody likes music, right? So you've got your musical act, whatever it is, whether it's rock or country or rap or whatever it is. Everybody likes their music.
Pop.
But for some reason, like the Dave Matthews Band, I know so many people that have been like over 15 times to a Dave Matthews show. Like Gover put it on Facebook, and I just brought it up on my Facebook page. This was his 42nd Dave Matthews Band concert.
I think that's
concert.
More than Katie. Wow.
He's at 42, and his wife went to her 18th over the weekend. So Gover's wife at 18, Gover, friend of the show, at 42 for Dave Matthews Band. And he's not alone there. Like, I know a lot of people who have been to like 30 yeah. Dave Matthews Band shows.
Katie's in the 30s. I don't know if she knows her exact count, but she's in the 30s. I'm probably now, yeah.
I think I'm 5.
So
okay, nice.
My question, and I've never been
in the teens.
So, like, what is it about them and him specifically where people just go all the time?
I mean, I think I said it last year when seriously, I should, like, apply to be a publicist for Dave Matthews. Basically, like, it's, again, like, their music. He has a lot of songs that I like, you know, some good songs. And then that goes back to but nothing, you know, I never loved it. But he'll take a song. It's elite musicianship is what it is. Like, again, Zach Brown comes out and he's amazing, but, like, they have elite horns, elite drummer, elite guitar. I mean, Tim Reynolds is like 4'11", and the guitar he had the other night was like bigger than him at times, but he absolutely is absurd. I mean, so it's like, and now they have this keyboard player, Buddy Taylor, unbelievable too. Like,
he knows all their names.
It's also awesome. It's also Rashawn timeless.
Ross, Carter Beauford.
I think it's timeless. Right, like it's one of those bands where it actually appeals to a lot of different generations, and I've gone, like I said, a couple of times. I don't know a lot of the words to really a majority of his songs. I mean, he's got a million songs and a million albums, but I feel like it is the type of concert where you could go, honestly, not really know any song and just kind of sit there and just enjoy really, really, really good music performed yeah. at such an incredibly high level.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, For sure. You know, I'm somewhat familiar with his music, and I'm sure that if I go to a concert one day, that I will enjoy it. It's just always been fascinating to me, like, that they're the ones that people go to. Like, I know some people that I used to work with at NHL.com have gone to Billy Joel at MSG like 12 times. But, like, other than that, nobody that I know goes to, like, the same concert 50 times.
Yeah, I hear you. But another thing is, like, he's never done the same show. That's right. A big thing. Like, so it's unpredictable. Like, some tours, you know, again, I'm such a dork. Like, so Janet Jackson came. We had a great time. And of course, I look at set lists, and you know that's a very carefully planned show, and like it's all the different eras, and it's the exact same show every time, which it's fine. But point being, like, Dave will just pull out songs, and you're like, whoa, and covers and whatever. Again, it's just like Maddie says, the guy's generation, you can't go to a show and not walk away in awe. They bust their butt every time. They give you, like, they spill it. So. And then they'll bring out guests like Zach Brown was amazing. Gone to a show where they bring out the Jazz Preservation Society from New Orleans, like three horn players who were just black. And they're playing these 20-minute jam session songs, which I know doesn't sound that appealing, but when it's so good and they're like, holy crap, how are they still doing that? Like, you can't help but, yeah, be in awe. Total dork.
Got a texter that says, was Lance dancing around like Aaron Rodgers at the Taylor Swift concert?
Rodgers is a Swiftie.
Aaron Rodgers is a Swiftie. You know, Paul Rudd I saw, also is a Swiftie. So.
Everyone is.
Yeah. Whether they admit it or not.
You can do that stuff when you're quarterback of the New York Jets, not the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, so you're okay with it now. You would have been mad if he was still with the Pack?
Nah, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's distracted. Listen, those New York sports fans, he's distracted. That's going to be the new narrative.
Yeah.
He's not focused.
He had
he did look like he was having a good time.
Yeah. He had a devastating tiny little ankle injury yes. that was a news. Joel says Jimmy Buffett paired heads. There's one I haven't been to.
I haven't either.
I think those are, yeah, I'm sure those are good. You know?
I've got another one that says Pearl Jam is the other one everyone goes to. I've been over 50. Never the same set list. They make a new one every show.
I will say, going last year for the first time, I was very regretful. I was like, that was my first one. They're good, man.
Over 50. That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of Pearl Jam.
It's a lot of Pearl Jam.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from the Nashville Post. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. We'll get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins and the Predators coaching staff conversation that we had earlier in the show as well. That coming up next. Make sure you join 1025, 1063 The Game on June the 6th for the Night Before Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Abel, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20 with every ticket. Going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new The Ballot East next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. The doors will open at 6 o'clock, so you can get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.